Hello, it's Wednesday, July 21st, and this is the Tantramar Report. You're tuned in to CHMA 106.9 FM in Sackville, New Brunswick. The CHMA studio is located in the traditional lands of the Mi'kmaq people, unceded in the Treaties of Peace and Friendship first signed with settlers in 1725. I'm Meg Cunningham. Here's what's coming up today. We introduce Laura Hunter, the new Open Sky Co-op Executive Director. There are no new cases of COVID-19 in the province, and New Brunswick's COVID-19 wings remain empty of patients requiring hospitalization. Nova Scotia Premier Rankin said he would remove tolls for non-commercial vehicles with Nova Scotia license plates on October 1st, if re-elected. And just under 60% of New Brunswick's eligible population has two doses of a COVID-19 vaccine. New Brunswick is slowly ramping up another streak of zero cases of COVID-19. This is the second day in a row with no new cases in the province. The active case count dropped to 7 since one person in the Moncton region recovered from the illness yesterday. As for vaccines, the province is just shy of reaching 60% of the population over 12 getting double dosed. Phase 3 of the path to green can only begin once 75% of the eligible population gets two doses. Right now, 80% of the population has at least one dose, so if all of them get a second shot, then the province will meet its goal. The province and public health estimate that Phase 3 will start on August 2nd, which is New Brunswick Day. So far, the province has been a few days, if not a few weeks, behind its deadlines when it comes to the path to green, but we'll see how it goes in August. The province has an influx of vaccines, both Pfizer and Moderna, and is encouraging anyone who has a long wait time between their first and second doses to rebook at an earlier date. As long as the appointments are 28 days apart, you're welcome to get a second shot at a pharmacy, clinic, or walk-in clinic. Don't forget that if you make an appointment and find one on an earlier or more convenient date, you need to cancel any appointment that you don't plan to attend. It can result in wasting a dose and prevent someone else from getting a dose that day. Check for updates on last-minute vaccine clinics on chmafm.com or on our social media pages. We do our best to let you know when there's a clinic available in the area. Also on chmafm.com is a hyperlocal FAQ that highlights some local resources that can help you get a vaccine at a walk-in clinic or any other appointment. It includes last-minute options for transportation, childcare, and how to get a hold of lost documents. Nova Scotia Premier Ian Rankin's campaign took him to Amherst on Tuesday to make an announcement alongside his Cumberland North candidate, Bill Casey. Amid both cheers and jeers from the gathered crowd, the Liberal leader promised a partial elimination of tolls on the Cobequid Pass. If re-elected, Rankin says a Liberal government would remove tolls for non-commercial vehicles with Nova Scotia license plates on October 1st of this year.
So to get to the point today, we are announcing the elimination of tolls for non-commercial vehicles with Nova Scotia license plates on the Cobequid Pass. And I want to say that no jobs will be cut, to be clear. Truck drivers and other province drivers will still pay tolls because the revenue will continue to be used for maintenance, and we intend to construct rest stops and equipment depots at the midway point on both sides of the highway. So this is about affordability, and it builds on a previous announcement in June to void the tolls that were once on our interprovincial ferries across the province. So we are being consistent to make sure that transportation is more affordable and accessible in every part of this province.
Supporters of newly independent incumbent candidate Elizabeth Smith McGrawson gathered at the campaign stop and milled about with signs reading things like "Elizabeth for Premier." The crowd heckled Rankin as he addressed the unexpected week-long extension of border restrictions he authorized in June, which led to border protests and a blockade, and also the expulsion of Smith McGrawson from the Nova Scotia PC caucus.
Over the course of the pandemic, we had to restrict our border traffic. I know it was hard for residents of Amherst. and this county who endured a heavy burden. Maintaining isolation requirements with little notice had a great impact on this area, especially the additional week in June. And I understand that. I did not do this with the public health asking me to.
Rankin did not mention the lack of coordination in June with his counterpart, New Brunswick, but focused on the fact that Nova Scotia is now emerging from restrictions and then quickly turned back to the Coquitlam Pass toll announcement. The Coquitlam toll has been in place since the highway opened in 1997. 30 years later, the provincial government said tolls would be lifted as soon as all debts were paid off. Rankin said Tuesday that higher-than-expected revenues on the pass have made it possible to take that step in the fall. He also said revenue from trucks and out-of-province travelers will go towards building rest stops at the highway point of the pass, which can store snowplows and maintenance equipment. Before he signed off, Rankin tried to squeeze out a thank you to Cumberland residents amidst heckling and jeers.
So thank you all. It's really great to be here. And again, I want to thank the residents from Cumberland. I know you're upset, but I just want to let you know I do appreciate the sacrifices that you made to keep Nova Scotians safe so that we led the country in our response to the pandemic. So thank you very much.
That was Nova Scotia Premier and candidate Ian Rankin on a campaign tour stop in Amherst yesterday. Nova Scotians head to the polls on August 17th, and candidates have until July 28th to officially declare their candidacy. So far, Elizabeth Smith McCrossan is the only one to officially declare, though Bill Casey has announced he's running for the Liberals. Lauren Scubber has announced herself a candidate for the NDP, and Tom Taggart says he's running for the Progressive Conservatives. The Nova Scotia Greens have not yet announced a candidate. Laura Hunter is one of the original co-founders of Open Sky Co-op, a nonprofit organization that helps adults with mental health challenges and disabilities transition from high school to adulthood. Now, 20 years later, Open Sky has called her back, and she's taking it over from longtime former executive director Margaret Tuesking. Hunter spent a few months transitioning into the position and officially started in early July. She made time to chat and introduce herself to the community as Open Sky Co-op's new executive director. Tell me about yourself. What did you do before you did this?
Well, I am coming to this position after many years working with the United Church of Canada as the Minister for Justice and Missions. So I was in a position, an administrative position in the regional offices, supporting social justice work around first the Maritimes and then in recent years, Atlantic Canada.
Okay.
I'm a diaconal minister. I always like to mention that it's a ministry within the United Church. Well, and other churches too, but in the United Church, it's a recognized ministry that has a particular focus on service and education, and we say pastoral care, but the care of others. It is all the training for it is rooted in community and rooted in, I would say, being in solidarity with those on the edges or the margins of society.
Okay, got you. And have you been in Sackville long?
I've lived in Sackville now for about 15 years. Am I counting that correctly? 2007, we moved here.
Okay. And where from?
Moved here from Cape Breton.
Okay.
But I'm a pretty native New Brunswicker. I've lived in New Brunswick for a big part of my life, and certainly would say I grew up here. So Sackville feels like very much a natural fit for me.
Why did you decide to go for this job when the position became available?
Oh, that's a good question. You may not know that I was among the four founding members that started Open Sky. I was at the kitchen table when those conversations happened that said, we wish there was a place where young adults could just slow down that transition. You know, different needs require some different experiences to make that transition, particularly from high school to the choices that face a young adult. And so if you're living with challenges or barriers because of mental health or autism spectrum disorder or other learning disabilities or all kinds of things can mean that just a slowed down process of transitioning to making those big decisions and finding pathways and discovering yourself, it would be wonderful if there was a place. And so my partner was very, very adamant that farming was a great way, a great space to learn about that. As I said, we were part of beginning this project, and we actually lived here for 4 years. Now, I had never worked here myself, but had always kind of been volunteering and helping care for the space, and interested in the direction that Open Sky would take. So when Margaret was retiring and I was beginning to look for something a little more hands-on for myself, it felt like this place was calling me back in some ways.
And I'm curious that you say hands-on, because you said you did administrative work with the United Church, which when I personally think of administrative work, I think a lot of desk work. Is that accurate to say?
It is true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So my role in that position was kind of helping those that were doing the frontline work to make the connections or find the funding or relate to develop policies or whatever they might need in order to do the work that they were passionately engaged in.
Mm-hmm. How's the adjustment period going? That's quite a difference in pace from the sounds of it.
It is a difference in pace. It's going well. It's a fantastic staff here, and the participants are so gracious, and everyone is being extremely patient with me. Sometimes people will hand me a piece of paper, and I find myself staring at it going, I wonder where this goes. I wonder what I'll do with this. But every day I'm learning more and finding all those right places for things, and looking forward, just beginning to have the conversations with people to find out what their passions and their gifts and talents are. I want to make sure that I guess one of the focuses for me will be to make sure that we are really engaging the gifts and the skills, enhancing or amplifying gifts and skills that people bring. Just recognizing that we all come with challenges, like we all have challenges. So how do we compensate for those? But how do we really learn to accentuate those things that we are really good at?
I know the dust is still settling a bit, but what are you most looking forward to once you have a bit of the groove? You mentioned those conversations. Is there anything else that you're looking forward to?
I am excited about the potential for Open Sky to really, I don't want to say widen so much, maybe deepen the work that we do. I think that the roots are so good and so strong, and the skills that the staff bring are amazing, and I think will serve us well to really. It's hard to articulate, because I think that what we do at Open Sky is a bit intuitive in some ways. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the way we've operated, responding to the needs of the individuals that come here, figuring out with some of the backgrounds that the staff bring. They have, lots of the staff have wonderful training in working with folks with different needs and with different mental health states of mental health. So just kind of understanding how our connection with the land and with the animals and with one another, how are those integrating with one another? You know, like from the sort of abstract and the models, you know, the educational models and so on. How, what is it that being around the flowers and the trees and the bees and the and the donkeys, you know, how does that complement the skills and knowledge that people bring about helping develop life skills and helping to give people a sense of belonging?
A lot of Open Skies programming has to do with what you're saying, with like the trees and the bees and the plants and the outdoorsness of it all. It's situated on a farm. Do you have any sort of special relationship with farming and or outdoors type activities or work?
I would say yes, mostly as a bystander and cheerleader. But as I said, my partner is a passionate gardener and farmer, and so we have had we've been involved in other organic farm projects in the past, and including our own. I'm not the instigator of it, but I am the great appreciator and and encourager and sometimes facilitator of it. Yeah. So, yeah, but my background is in environmental studies, and from way back when environmental studies was still a new thing at universities. And so I very much have connection with the land, and understand that as a source of health and well-being for all people.
Those were all of the questions I had for you. Do you think there's anything important for listeners to know about you or about how Open Sky is doing right now that I haven't asked you about?
I think that just to assure folks that Open Sky is growing. It still is a place that seems to inspire hope and possibility for people. We have wonderful stories of folks that have been through the Be Your Own Boss program that was started by the previous executive director, and there's been a great response from the individuals who've participated in that to stretch their imaginations about what's possible for them in their lives, and even if it's just for supplementing an income, you know, taking on a project and stepping into the management of it. So we're looking at how we enhance that, how it grows, how that can be shared with others, and yeah, numerous other projects we're looking at a big barn sort of renovation. What do you call it when you're just kind of helping an old barn get restoration? And so that's going to be in the works in the next while, we hope. And so there's some people will see lots of activity, continue to see lots of activity around Open Sky. And we're so grateful for the support that folks have given us, especially through COVID. The staff responded beautifully to adapting programs to the situation with COVID. But now that we can be back together, everyone's really excited about the possibilities.
That was new executive director of Open Sky Co-op, Laura Hunter. That's all for the Tantramar Report today. Get in touch with leads or feedback at news@chmafm.com. I'm Meg Cunningham. Thank you for listening.